one, number 9.
Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Barker and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Father, thank you for the abundant blessings that you have bestowed upon our state and our nation. We live in the most prosperous and powerful nation on the planet, and in the most fortunate period in human history. We are truly grateful and humbled. We pray that you give us wisdom to fulfill the sacred trust bestowed upon us by the citizens of Montana. Given that each of us has an individual responsibility to our own constituents, disagreements will naturally arise. We take pride in our rugged individualism and invite the clash of ideas necessary to achieve the very best results that we can for Montana. That is our strength. As we do this, please help us to remember that your kingdom is within each one of us. Help this recognition give us the perspective necessary to follow the greatest of commandments, to put you first, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Please help us to embrace our beloved identity in you, receive and extend grace, and live with the gift of your peace that passes all understanding. I love you, Father. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 97 members are present. Representatives Flament, Seekins Crow, and Stuart Paragoy are excused.
Quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Running Wolf.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Yes, up in the gallery. One of my good friends, I did a lot of big work with him on water compact work and other initiatives on the Blackfeet Reservation, and that's Jerry Lunick up there in the gallery. He's still working on the water compact stuff now, and when he was getting ready to go under the water department, I told him, Jerry, whatever you do, stay away from water compact because it will eat up your life. But he's done an awesome job. I appreciate him as a friend. He's raised some great boys. I've been a PRCA saddle bronc rider, or a bareback rider. He himself was a PRCA bareback rider, and his boy was with the NAIA championship football team for the Dickinson State Eagles. So, Jerry Lunick, my best friend, good buddy.
Welcome to the House. Representative Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wish to be off the record, out of the journal, for the purposes of an introduction.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce and welcome to the House a group of veterans in the gallery from the American Legion, VFW, and DAV.
Welcome to the House. Seeing no further introductions, order business number 1, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee on Business and Labor recommend that House Bill 145 do pass. Signed, Representative Ed Buttrey, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Education, recommend that House Bill 21 and 22 do pass. Signed, Representative Fred Anderson, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Energy, Technology, and Federal Relations, recommend that House Bill 52 do pass. Signed, Katie Zolnikov, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Local Government, recommend that House Bill 113 do pass. Signed, Representative Larry Brewster, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Natural Resources, recommend that House Bill 88 do pass and 85 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Steve Gunderson, Chair. Mr. Speaker, your Committee on Transportation recommend that House Bill 26, 27, 60, 75, 76, 129 do pass. Signed, Representative Denley Logie, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 3, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 4, messages from the Senate.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 5, messages from the Governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bills 212 through 215 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Jedediah Hinkle, Chair of the Committee of the Whole for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 18. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 18, introduced by Running Wolf, a bill for an act entitled An Act Establishing the Missing Persons Response Team Training Grant Program, creating the Missing Persons Response Team Training Grant Account, providing a fund transfer and appropriation, and providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Running Wolf?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move, when the committee does rise and report, after had consideration, HB 18 do pass.
Representative Running Wolf.
During the interim, I chaired the State Tribal Relations Committee, and we developed some great bills, and we revisited some past bills, especially the bill that was brought forward last year by the representative in seat 64. This bill is for all Montana missing persons and is a call to action. The purpose of this bill, develop a missing persons response team training program administered through DOJ. Funding training opportunities for community-based missing persons response teams that are already existing or wish to form. These locally organized teams will be multi-agency, multi-jurisdictional, and may include other community entities and volunteers. And there's a eligibility. To be eligible, these teams shall establish MOUs between each other, develop operational procedures, in criteria under which each team activation can occur and to participate in a community action planning effort conducted in accordance with the department guidelines. Each training expenses to include but are not limited to the licensing costs of a training program, facilitators and conference location fees, and travel expenses for training, staff, and trainees. Then there's a reporting requirement to the State Tribal Relations Interim Committee and for grant award requirements. And then also setting up a grant account in the state special revenue fund that is administered by DOJ. This special account will accept gifts, grants, donations, securities, and other assets, public or private. These monies will only be used according to this bill. Up to 10% of the funds deposited may be used by administrative costs by DOJ, and interest and income earned and unspent will remain in the account. The funding of this bill, initial appropriation funding is $61,000 from the State General Fund to the Missing Persons Response Team Grant Account. And then other potential funding, like I said earlier, gifts, donations, other grants, securities, and other assets, public or private. It'll have an effective date, July 1st, 2023. Vote green.
Is there a discussion on the bill? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Running Wolf that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 18, that it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Seekins Crow and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 18 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 38. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 38, introduced by Oblander, a bill for an act entitled An Act Making the Theft of a Light Vehicle a Felony, Revising Sentencing Laws for Theft and Amending Sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Oblander?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having heard, after having under consideration House Bill 38, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Oblander.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 38 is by the request of the Criminal Justice Oversight Council, and it involves the act of making the theft of a light vehicle a felony and revising sentencing laws for the theft and amending sections 46-6-301. And this bill came about due to concern for people losing their vehicles and having an adverse effect on them. Light vehicles are pickup trucks and passenger vehicles. It does not include mopeds or motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, or large vehicles such as farm vehicles or other large type vehicles. This bill is necessary because the theft of light vehicles has an adverse effect on families and individuals, particularly lower income families, single parent families, and one income families. When people lose their only means of transportation for school, work, daycare, grocery shopping, or other daily needs, their families suffer exponentially because they do not have the means to easily replace it. It is supported by both law enforcement and county attorneys, and I do recommend a do pass, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Representative Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm going to rise in opposition to this bill, and I definitely want to give props to the sponsor for bringing it, because I think the intention behind it is one that I can very much appreciate. I think that valuing the property and the impact to all members of our society is a really good way to go. And as the law is currently written, the way that this provision is addressed is primarily based on the value of the vehicle that is stolen. So allowing our minds to consider that value can be greater than just the monetary value is something that I really value. But here's why I'm going to be opposing that. This isn't going to solve that problem for that single mom. This isn't going to provide her with that vehicle back or remedy the problem that she has. And for the person who's the offender in this case, if we want them to be fully held responsible, their ability to actually pay restitution by not being charged with a felony that's going to imprison them gives them a greater path to being able to do that. And I'm not sure that this is an overall scheme that is going to help us address the problems that we're having and really help us do that in a way that makes sense for all Montanans. And I think, too, as we look at this and we think about, is this a problem that needs addressing, there is a small rise in our state in the incidences of vehicles that are being stolen. It is primarily driven by two counties, and in many of some of our largest population counties, let me see if I can find the data, your incidence of car theft is actually down, and actually substantially so. So if you're in Cascade County, it's down 13.5%. In Missoula County, it's down 6.8%. Lewis and Clark County has shown the biggest decrease. It's down by 18.1%. So this isn't something where we're seeing across our state an incidence of something that's really going up. And this is going to provide an opportunity for us to go against the general provisions that we've had, which is let's try to help people, let's try to address the issues that they have, and let's not just create a new felony and put more people in jail over the theft of something that could be as low as $1,550. So for that, I will be opposing it. Again, I appreciate the spirit behind this, but I cannot think that this is our best answer. Thanks so much.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, don't steal cars. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move 38 be amended and that amendment 38.002.001 be deemed read, posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. After discussions with some members of the committee, the commission who proposed this bill, I propose an amendment to return the bill to its original state by removing the words must be operational. And here's why. The whole point of this bill is just because something has a low book value does not mean it has a low value to the person that lost it by theft. If I have my vehicle stolen, it's a felony. If my son has his vehicle stolen, it's not a felony because based on the value. That's a hypothetical. But the distinction is to protect people of lower means. This is only for personal vehicles. But I would say that the caveat that the vehicle must be operational somewhat diminishes the purpose of the bill. There are circumstances that you can't know. A person may be using that vehicle for a shelter at the time that it is stolen, and now you haven't just stolen their vehicle, which cannot be replaced, but now you have stolen their home. There may be a person who has a vehicle of lower book value who's saving up money to have it fixed, and therefore it is not at the time operational. That doesn't diminish the value of that property to the person, which is the purpose of this bill to begin with. So the representative in the back row stole my clothes, so I'll probably waive that. Don't steal cars. Please consider giving a due pass to this amendment.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? Representative Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry to get up on and oppose an amendment on a bill that I've already opposed, but I think that this amendment actually flies in the face of the argument for the bill if you were planning on voting for it, which is to say that we are not then addressing someone's personal transportation to be able to get to and from work, but rather we are fundamentally changing the way that the provision is already written, which is really addressing things based upon their value. And so now, again, we're piling on a new felony for something that really doesn't meet the existing code. So I'm going to be opposing this as well. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am the culprit for this grand idea of contriving the idea that if you're going to steal a car, it should be able to drive away. Perhaps some of us as youth sat in cars in our father's or in grandfather's fields and pretended to steal our grandfather's car that had no engine or wheels. Had we found the means to move that vehicle to another location, we would have committed a felony. If the vehicle's worth something, it's operational. If it's not operational, I fail to see its great intrinsic value. And so that was where I came up with this concept for the idea to amend it in the committee to make it operational. At the end of the day, people should not be taking property that does not belong to them.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Representative Oblender.
Mr. Chair, this is a friendly amendment to this bill, And one of my concerns is the fact that this car may not be operational as yet, but it could be that that family or individual that's living in that car is trying desperately to save and get enough money up to make it operational. So I support this amendment.
So further discussion on the amendment? There being no further discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The amendment sponsor has closed. With the question now arises on the amendment of Representative Carlson, those in favor vote aye, those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins Crow and Stuart Paragoy vote no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 59 members have voted aye, 40 have voted no.
The amendment passes. Is there further discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and body. I happened to be in this hearing, and a good example, when I first heard this bill, I thought this seems kind of all about somebody stealing, you know, purposefully stealing a car. But they had an example of a person who got pulled over, and the car was left on private property, and a salvage company or somebody towed it away without permission, and the person lost their car by the time they got back from the hospital. And those sort of situations, you know, can be avoided. This may make some of those type of operations think twice before they just pick up somebody's car and tow it away. So I think it has merit, so please give it some consideration. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative O'Blander that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 38, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins Crow votes yes. Representative Stuart Paragoy votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 68 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
House Bill 38 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 58. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 58, introduced by Yakowich, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising the Debt Collection Services of the Department of Revenue by providing for an agreement with an agency to assist in collection of a delinquent account, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Yakowich?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 58, that it is recommended the same, do pass.
Representative Yakowich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I bring forward House Bill 58, requested by the Department of Revenue. This bill is one of the Governor's red tape initiatives, which passed unanimously by the Taxation Committee. Thank you. This bill pertains to the clarification of the state debit collection process, which the department uses to assist in collecting a delinquent debt. This bill streamlines and provides a more effective and a smoother process. I ask that the body do pass. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Yakovich that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 58, that it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Seekins Crow and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 58 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 63. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 63, introduced by Kearns, a bill for an act entitled An Act to Generally Revise Civil and Criminal Liability Laws Related to Members of the Armed Forces and the Montana National Guard, limiting civil liability for emergency care rendered at the scene by members of the National Guard, providing an affirmative defense in criminal actions of justifiable use of force in defense of military equipment and information, and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Kearns?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 63, it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I bring you an important bill from the Department of Military Affairs. House Bill 63 does two important things to take care of our Montana members of the National Guard and Air National Guard. First, it would limit individual civil liability for members of the Montana National Guard rendering emergency care at the scene of an accident, so long as that member is not grossly negligent. Second, it protects members of the Montana National Guard from criminal liability while on state active duty under the control of the governor. Federal law does not protect members of the Montana National Guard from criminal liability while on state active duty. This bill rectifies that. For members of the Montana National Guard while on federal active duty, it provides that federal official immunity from state criminal liability when the force, including deadly force, is used within the scope of duties, especially to protect certain categories of DOD assets. Truly, we ask our great members of the Montana National Guard and Air National Guard to do a ton of important and amazing things. Let's do what we can to protect them here in this bill. Vote green.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on a motion of Representative Kearns that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 63, that it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Seekins Crow and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill number 63 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration, House Bill 71. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 71, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Alcoholic Beverage Laws Relating to the Transfer of Licenses, allowing the department to grant temporary operating authority to an applicant, allowing for the transfer of alcoholic beverage inventory with a bona fide sale if certain conditions have been met, providing that the temporary operating authority may not exceed 180 days, providing eligibility requirements, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Logie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 71, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The title kind of says what the whole bill does. It was at request of the Department of Revenue. And what it does when you have a transfer of a license, it extends the time, authorized operating time
limit. It used to be 45 days, and it stings it out. They can operate for 180 days, and also allows for the transfer of the alcohol to go with that license, and that way they don't have to have a last-minute party to get rid of it all. Please vote yes.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Logie that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 71 that it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Seekins Crow and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 97 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
House Bill 71 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, have before your consideration House Bill 77. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 77, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to Public Safety Officer Appointing Authorities, amending section and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
Representative Steve Galloway.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 77, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and body. This is a bill that was requested by my sheriff, and it basically needed to clean up some language for safety officers. Oftentimes, if an officer that was in training might become ill or injured, he might not be able to complete in time. So this gives us in statute the ability for them to make an exception. So I appreciate a due pass.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Galloway that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 77, it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins Crow and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 77 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 78. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 78, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to Public Safety Officer Appointing Authorities, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Steve Galloway?
Mr. Chair and body, this isn't Groundhog Day. It is a little bit different of a bill. It is the same thing. It's a seeking clarity and an opportunity. Oftentimes we might have a safety officer that's going through training that might be in the National Guard, for example, or another military body or something where they have to go on leave for extended period of time, and this just puts into statutes the ability for the department to be able to extend them the opportunity to come back and finish their training. Interesting enough, just a few facts and figures. These may not seem real important, but there are 5,885 public safety officers. 49% of them are police officers, 28% are correction and detention officers, and another 5% make up some other members. So it's important that we offer protection for our Guard members and our military families that if something comes up that they can finish their training when they get back. So I ask for a due pass. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that the sponsor did not move his bill. We might want to just clean up that. Thank you.
Okay. Would the sponsor like to move his bill?
I move that when this committee does rise and report, and after having had under consideration House Bill 78, that it recommend the same do pass.
Does the sponsor wish to close?
Yes.
Okay. There being, okay. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Galloway that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 78, that it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion vote aye. Those who are opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins Crowe and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 78 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 81. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 81, introduced by Mitchell, a bill for an act entitled An Act Providing for a State Veteran Cemetery in Flathead County as Funding Allows and Amending Sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Mitchell?
Mr. Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 81, then recommend the same do pass.
Representative Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I'm bringing before you a bill that will bring a state veteran cemetery to Columbia Falls. The measure will impact veterans in 9 Montana counties, Lincoln County, Sanders County, Flathead County, Lake County, Glacier County, Toole County, Ponderay County, Teton County, and Liberty County veterans. The population of these 9 counties total over 172,000 residents. Of these, Flathead County is the most populous and alone has a nearly 15% veteran population. The nearest state veterans cemetery, to Columbia Falls is in Missoula, which is roughly 127 miles away. NCA guidelines require a 75-mile distance between state and federal veteran cemeteries. As you can see in the map that was placed in your mailbox, the Montana State Veterans Home currently owns around 150 acres adjacent to the Veterans Home Cemetery. All of that land is available for development. On the fiscal end of things, the National Cemetery Administration VA grant will fully cover the development of the cemetery, and the yearly operation and maintenance costs of the cemetery will cost around $50,000 annually. The personnel costs will be around $125,000 annually, which brings a total fiscal impact of $175,000, and which is included in the governor's budget. This is a great bill for northwestern Montana and Montana as a whole. This legislation will cement and honor the legacy of the men and women who have fought for our freedoms and protected, I urge you green. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the bill? We have Representative Bertolio.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, as you know, it can be challenging to find land in our great state. We have the land. This is the opportunity to do right by our veterans. Vote green.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Mitchell that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 81, it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins Crowe and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 81 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 90. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 90, introduced by Frazier, a bill for an act entitled An Act Exempting Certain Staff Employee Group Insurance Plan Contracts from the Provisions of the Montana Procurement Act and Amending Sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Frazier?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had on consideration House Bill 90, that it recommends the same do pass.
Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House Bill is a rather simple bill brought by the Department of Administration. What you will notice on It changes one line on page 2, line 23, which reads, contracting under Title II, Chapter 18, Part 8, with a health care facility as defined. House Bill 90 is a simple safety net bill which simply allows the state to step in and contract with a health care facility in the unfortunate event that they refuse to contract with other third-party providers. This will ensure that our state employees and their families will have guaranteed coverage so that they can live their lives knowing that there will be health care coverage rather than worrying whether their provider will accept their insurance, resulting in them having to find another health care facility. This puts a state health plan on equal footing with other large employers across Montana and the rest of the nation. Other large employers are not constricted by this statute and can already contract directly with hospital facilities. House Bill 90 is a bipartisan bill that unanimously passed out of state admin 19-0. So imagine if for some unknown reason in the future your hometown hospital wasn't available to you anymore, you would want the state to step in and contract with that hospital to maintain access to health care services for you and your family. Ultimately, this bill adds a safety net that protects all of us and all the state employees that we represent. This bill will not circumvent the state procurement process. It merely supplements it. So, while it may seem far-fetched that a hospital wouldn't be in the network, this bill simply provides the state and its employees a safety net to protect our quality of health care. Please vote yes.
Is there discussion on the bill? Representative Cafaro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speak to the bill, please.
Representative Cafaro.
I respectfully oppose this bill, and I ask you to join me in standing up for responsible use of taxpayers' money, transparency, and the public's right to know what our government is up to. An example was given as to why the bill is necessary, and that was about emergency room physicians who in the past chose not to contract with the state employee insurance plan. Well, this is not an issue because we have the No Surprises Act. Another argument in support of the bill was this change is necessary as a safety net for the state of Montana. Montana has safety nets. There are already exceptions to the full-blown procurement process and statute, and the rule that allows the state and rule that allow the state of Montana to contract with an entity if they were in a situation where the facility refused to provide care. Sole source procurement, MCA 18-4-307, ARM 2-5-604. An exigency procurement, MCA 18-4-133, ARM 2-5-605. So that is not a valid basis for this change in law. The current sole source process requires justification and notice to other entities, but does not require the full procurement process. And the exigency process allows for contracting in unexpected situations. Also, this bill is proposed, does not limit the blanket removal of a competitive process for large money contracts to the very specific or emergent situations described by the proponents. It was stated that the state wants to be able to enter into contracts like any other business. This isn't any other business. It is a large governmental entity that uses public money, $865 million in 2021. It uses public money, and the procurement laws and rules have been adopted to create transparency, fair competition for businesses, and responsible expenditure of taxpayer money. I ask you to please vote no.
Is there further discussion? Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, rise in opposition to House Bill 90. And I want to refer you back, really, to what we're talking about. If you go to Title 18, Chapter 4, that's the Montana Procurement Act. And the purposes of the Montana Procurement Act are set forth in 18-4-122. And there are three subsections in particular that I'd like to draw your attention to. Sub 4 is provide for increased public confidence in the procedures followed in public procurement. Number 5 is ensure the fair and equitable treatment of all persons who deal with the procurement system of the state. And number 7 is foster effective, broad-based competition within the free enterprise system. So, as the sponsor noted, there is one thing that this bill does, and it is to exempt provisions from the Procurement Act. So you're looking at 18.4.132, and that sets forth what the chapter applies to. Sub 3 that begins on page 1 of the bill says these are the things that the chapter doesn't apply to. And if you look at most of those, you can understand why you wouldn't want a public procurement process. So you don't need a public procurement process for a court reporter that is appointed in order to transcribe records of the court. And maybe you don't need a public procurement process for the hiring of a claims adjuster that the state might have. But when you're talking about the plan in question, and if you take a look at the definition, the bill, as you know from the bill is referring back to 50 on line 23 of the bill, page 2. It is referring to the definition of healthcare facility in 55101. And that is, means all or a portion of an institution, building, or agency, public or private, including federal, excluding federal facilities, whether organized for profit or not, and it lists the whole gamut of healthcare providers in the state. Eating disorder centers, hospitals, infirmaries, residential treatment facilities, you name it. Anything that is defined here as a healthcare facility would be exempted from the Procurement Act as set forth in this bill. And so the question is does that actually advance the purposes of the statute that we have, or does that impair the purposes of the statute? This actually reminds me of a debate we had back in 2019 where we were trying to carve out an exception for local governments to engage in the procurement process and essentially do so in a sole source way that precluded competition, precluded the ability to have various players participate in the system. I think this bill does the same thing, and I don't think that advances the interest of the Procurement Act as set forth in those purposes. So for those reasons, I'm going to oppose House Bill 90. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Frazier that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 90, it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye. Representative Stewart-Paragoy votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 22 representatives have voted aye, 77 have voted no.
House Bill 90 has failed to pass second reading. Members, you have before you, members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 124. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 124, introduced by Bergstrom, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising the Collection of Taxes on Beer, Wine, and Hard Cider from Monthly to Quarterly, amending sections and providing an effective date and applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Bergstrom?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 124, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Bergstrom.
Mr. Chair and members, this bill revises the frequency with which a business must remit beer and wine taxes to the department. Instead of paying these taxes on a monthly basis, the filing and payment obligation will now occur quarterly. These changes should reduce the burden on the businesses and also on the department staff.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on a motion of Representative Bergstrom that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 124, it recommends that the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye, and those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Seekins, Crow, and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 97 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
House Bill 124 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 148. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 148, introduced by Binkley, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Information Technology Board Membership to make the Chief Information Officer the presiding officer of the board and allow certain member designees to serve and amend section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Binkley?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 148, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 148 amends the composition of the Information Technology Board to change the presiding officer from the Director of the Department of Administration to the Chief Information Officer, maintains the Department of Administration Director as a permanent member, and allows for certain members to appoint a designee. Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Binkley that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 148, it recommends the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those who are opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins, Crow, and Stuart Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 148 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Resolution 1, Joint Resolution 1. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Joint Resolution Number 1, introduced by Sheldon Galloway, a joint resolution of the Senate and House of Representatives of the State of Montana requesting an interim study of missing youth and requiring that the final results of the study be reported to the 69th Legislature. Mr. Chair.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution 1, that it recommended the same do pass.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a study to extend some research that we are doing on missing youth that would be reported to the 69th legislative session. And I'd like to give you some details from the Montana Department of Justice. In 2019, the Department of Justice initiated an in-depth analysis of missing people for the years 2017, 18, and 19, and learned that 80% of the people in Montana that were missing were under the age of 18. The data is consistent in 2020. In 2022, 1,349 of the 1,906 missing persons in Montana were under the age of 18. 225 of those youth reported continually to be missing more than one time. The Department of Justice initiated a collaboration of the Department of Health and Human Services, Child and Family Services Division, and the Department of Justice Fusion Center, Office of Child and Family Ombudsman, to conduct a monthly review of missing youth in Montana. Since April, 2021, that procedure has looked at 395 missing youth reports. Some of those youth were reported missing multiple times. Generally, the Department of Justice meets with these people monthly. Under five youth from the Child Family Services Division remain missing. In that meeting, it is not unusual for some of those five to be located but not yet cleared from the missing person clearinghouse data. What we don't have in this process of reviewing missing youth are any records from the juvenile probation system or any records from the Office of Public Instruction. What we do know and have is we know that youth run away. They run from poverty, abuse, mental health, and substance abuse issues. We know that after 72 hours on a street, a youth is at higher risk of exploitation, including human trafficking. We know that youth run towards independence, jobs, relationships, education, and training. We know that some youth are just simply missing. They are gone. And we don't know how and why and when exactly. What we don't know or understand is why such a consistently large number of youth go missing in Montana. We need more information from stakeholders, and this bill will provide the opportunity to collect more information to study the problem of missing youth. Our youth deserve the time and the resources dedicated to them to do our best to both prevent them from going missing and to do our best to locate them as soon as possible. There is no greater feeling than turning around and your child is missing. It could be the longest 5 minutes of your life. It could be the longest day of your life. It could be the longest month of your life, even the longest year. Hopefully not your lifetime looking for a youth. Let's vote yes and do a study to help with the youth that are missing in Montana. Please vote green.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Sheldon Galloway that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution 1, it recommends that the same do pass. Those who are in favor of the motion vote aye. Those who are opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Eakins-Crowe and Stewart-Paragoy vote aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
House Joint Resolution 1 has passed second reading. The chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. Those who are in favor say aye. Those who are opposed say no.
Mr. Speaker,
the ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the committee report.
Heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Hinkle. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 1, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Feed Bill to fund 68th Legislative Session and prepare for 2025.
House Bill 1, having been read three several times, the question is, shall bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 86 representatives have voted aye, 11 have voted no.
House Bill 1 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 43, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled Revising Alcohol Laws Related to Death or Incapacity of a License or Owner.
House Bill 43 have been read three several times. The question is, shall a bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 94 representatives have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
House Bill 43 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 56, introduced by Dooling, a bill for an act entitled Extend the Application of the Bond Validating Act.
House Bill 56 having been read three several times. The question is, shall a bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 56 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 61, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Remove Insurance Continuing Education Council.
House Bill 61 have been read three several times. The question is, shall a bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 93 representatives have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
House Bill 61 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 67, introduced by Nickel, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Real Estate Appraisers.
House Bill 67 have been read three several times. The question is, shall a bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 67 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 106, introduced by Walsh, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Federal Mitigation Funding.
House Bill 106 have been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does a member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 106 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 120, introduced by Minor, a bill for an act entitled Allow for State-Sponsored Industry Trade Shows.
House Bill 120 have been read three several times. The question is, shall a bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 73 representatives have voted aye, 24 have voted no.
House Bill 120 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer House Bill 38, generally revised theft laws to enumerate theft of a light vehicle to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer House Bill 81, create new state veterans cemetery to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. So no further motions. Order business number 10, unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 192, signed Representative Bill Mercer, sponsor. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
House Business Number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order Business Number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got two announcements. One, House Natural Resources, Room 172, 3 p.m. tomorrow. Two bills, two possible EAs. Second one is that we have legislative spouses will be taking blood pressure Wednesdays, 11 to 12 in the House chamber and 12 to 1 in the Senate anteroom. You may go to either.
Representative Caleb Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Legislative Administration, noon tomorrow, one bill.
Representative Reed.
Mr. Speaker, may I request to be off the record for an announcement?
So ordered.
Tonight at the Mountain Family Fellowship Church, there will be a viewing of the movie 8 Days, which is about human trafficking. And I would also like to to announce to the floor that tomorrow is a recognition of Human Trafficking Day. The address for Mountain Family Fellowship is 8145 North Montana Avenue. If you haven't been out that way before, it's past the shooting club. I would recommend anybody go to that movie because it's talking about the same scenario as House Joint Resolution 1. Thank you.
Representative Amy Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., room 137, 2 bills.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section F, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., 317B, continuing on House Bill 12.
Representative Jedediah Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I may be off the record and out of the journals for a purpose of an announcement.
So order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, today is a very, very, very special day. We have a birthday. So I'd like to say happy birthday to my colleague in Gallatin County. She turns 32 today, Representative Gillette.
Happy birthday. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section D will continue hearings on the Office of Public Defender budget tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., 317A. And Mr. Speaker, if I may also add that the tour of the state prison that both Section D and Section F did on Saturday was illuminating. And I wish I would have made the announcement before I did, because we had 5 additional members of this body join us for that tour. So I'm going to do a better job of an advance announcement. We will go to Shelby to visit the facility that is in Shelby on the 21st, Saturday the 21st. If folks are interested beyond the membership at DNF, please let either Representative Hopkins or me know. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fielder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Taxation will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in room 152. We have 1 bill.
Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Local Government, 3 p.m. today, 3 executive actions.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation will not be meeting tomorrow for any hearing. We will be taking a field trip at 3 o'clock to the MDT facilities.
Representative Fitzgerald.
Mr. Speaker, House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Meeting today, room 172, 2 bills, 3 executive actions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schillinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appropriation Section C will meet tomorrow morning. We'll continue with the Department of Transportation budget.
Representative Buttrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Business and Labor, tomorrow morning, 8:30, room 172, 5 bills.
Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Admin, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., 2 bills and 8 executive action. Thank you.
Representative Beatty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section E meets 8:30 tomorrow, room 472, to have day 2 of the OPI budget, largest part of the state general fund budget.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education meets Wednesday, 3 o'clock. Room 137, 1 bill, executive action.
Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We'll have a joint appropriation Section A tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., room 350, and we will begin the review of the Department of Commerce budget.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Human Services today at 3, 1 bill.
Representative Cashmire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Ag today at 3 p.m., room 137, 4 bills.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn and reconvene Wednesday, the 8th legislative day at 1 p.m.
You've heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House will reconvene at 1 p.m. Wednesday, January 11th. The House is adjourned.